The new 1940 Top Speed Rinso, with its marvelous new sud booster that licks hard water and gives much richer suds in soft water, too. Rinso brings you Edward G. Robinson in an exciting story from Big Town. A story of life and death on the highways of America. Ona Munson heads the supporting cast. In a moment, we'll take you to Big Town. But first, we're going to have a little fun tonight, folks, with a Rinso family quiz. First, we're going to take the father of our family, Mr. George McDonald. Now, Mr. McDonald, do you ever do the dishes for your wife?
I should say not.
You mean you don't care if her hands get all rough and red from dishwashing?
Sure, I care, but her hands don't get that way because she uses Rinso.
Oh, she does. Then perhaps you can tell me how much it costs per day to use Rinso for dishes.
I'd say less than a cent a day.
And you're absolutely right. And every man values the appearance of his wife's hands at more than that. That's another reason why the new 1940 Top Speed Rinso should always be used for dishes as well as the week's wash. We'll hear from your wife and little daughter later on, Mr. McDonald. But now, let's see what's going on in Big Town. In tonight's presentation, Mr. Robinson is heard as Steve Wilson, managing editor of the Illustrated Press. Steve is aided and abetted by Lorelei, the girl reporter, played by Ona Munson. We find them in the wire room of the Illustrated Press, talking to a committee from the Big Town Safe Driving Week.
Here's the list of casualties just coming in over the telephone, gentlemen. Weekend report of the dead and injured. And I'm not speaking of the war in Europe. I refer to the war on our streets and highways right here in Big Town. Here are the traffic deaths from Saturday noon to Sunday night. 8 people killed and 39 injured.
That's dreadful, Mr. Wilson.
In this county alone, our reckless drivers killed 1,046 people in 1939.
Oh, we might as well be at war if this sort of thing keeps up.
On this blackboard, we have the national figures of automobile deaths for the past 22 years. Look at that frightful increase. 1917, 6,724. In 1927, 21,160. In 37, 39,643.
Why, it's appalling.
In 38, we reduced the total by 7,000.
And here's the National Safety Council's estimate for 39. Again, a reduction of 7,000.
Yes, but that still leaves 32,600 motor vehicle deaths for 1939.
But what can we do?
Well, we've tried to do our share. We've been conducting a front-page fight against reckless driving for the past 18 months. We don't seem to get anywhere.
We've got a big circulation. We reach thousands of people, but still it goes on.
Why don't you take to the air, Steve? Tell your story over the radio.
That's not a bad idea.
Well, we'd reach millions that way, wouldn't we?
Yes.
That would take a lot of doing. We need radio writers, producers, actors.
Yeah, but most of all, you need a good announcer. A man who could dramatize the message, a dynamic personality.
Well, what's the matter with our own Steve Wilson?
Oh, I could do that.
Oh, don't be silly, Steve. Of course you could.
So, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to continue these broadcasts until we've shocked, ashamed every driver into obeying the traffic laws and using the brains the good Lord gave him. What are the common causes of tragic accidents on our streets and highways? First of all, speeding. Heaven knows that's common enough.
Tom! Tom, let me through! I
can't see. I can't stop looking at this. I was doing 70 when it hit that telegraph. You know what that means.
Then there's the overconfident driver who, for no reason at all, wants to pass everyone on the road. I knew one charming young woman like that in a high-powered car, smartly dressed, positive that every male driver would give way to a sexy beauty. But one of them didn't, and she's no longer beautiful. She keeps her scarred face hidden from the world. And of course, there's a couple who chatter as they ride along. The man tries to talk and watch the road at the same time.
Oh, I walked right into the boss's office and I says, now, look here, you big stiff, you can't do that to me. You promised me a raise 2 years ago.
Look, Jim, you're on the wrong side of the road.
And so it goes. The tragic young fools who make love as they drive. The blithering idiot who cuts in from the right. The impatient maniac who tries to pass another car on a curb. Then there's another type. Let me tell you about them. A mother is driving, taking her daughter home. She found the girl drunk in the cocktail lounge.
Thank heaven the doorman recognized you and phoned me. And to think that you'd be seen drinking in public, well, that's bad enough. But with a man like Pat Bell.
Pat's all right. He's a good scout.
He's a gangster, a criminal.
He's darn good-looking one.
Oh, if your father ever finds out about this, I don't know.
I know. He'll throw me out. He threatened to do that last week. He never knows I'm on Earth till I do something wrong. Hey, watch your driving, Mother. You nearly hit that pole.
Oh, I hardly know what I'm doing. You've upset me so. I don't understand you, Vi. A girl like you with every chance in the world.
Here's the boulevard. Turn right.
I know.
Pull over, Mother. You turned right in the path of that truck. Mother, look what you've done.
What was it, Vi? What happened?
You forced that truck to the left and crashed head on into a school bus coming the other way. You better stop.
But how can we? Don't you realize you've been drinking? I don't dare let the police see you in this condition.
With a busload of orphans from the shelter for homeless children. A load of kids returning from a happy day in the country.
You're the driver of the truck, huh?
Yes, sir. Here's my license.
Right on. And you're the kind of a guy they like to take loads like that on the road.
Couldn't help it, I couldn't. That gray convertible shot right in front of me. I swear it wasn't my fault.
Tell that to the bus driver. He's dead.
I know. I wish I was in his place. What I think of those poor kids they're loading
in the van. Sorry for them. What was the matter with you? Were you drunk or asleep?
Oh, I don't drink. I knew what I was doing. It was that gray convertible that got me.
I better get you down to the station.
Held the inquest on the following day. Lorelei and I were there with Hoagie and a cameraman.
Mr. Arnold, it's strange that no one else reported that gray convertible. What make of car was it?
A Mohawk. It came tearing out in the middle of the block and made a wide right turn. I had to swing to keep from hitting. I couldn't see the bus coming.
But they saw you. 10 tons of death bearing down upon them. Now, 3 witnesses have sworn that you lost control of your truck, and not one of them remembers the gray car. You've got to admit your story doesn't stand up.
Maybe it doesn't. Maybe I'm crazy. Oh, what's the use? You've got me convicted already.
That'll be all. The jury will retire to consider their verdict.
Oh, Hoagie, yeah. Quick, grab a shot of Arnold as he steps down from the stand. I'm going to frame it in the black border right on the round mast.
Okay, boss.
Hey, Arnold, look over this way.
No, don't do that. Don't.
What a picture. 10 cameras going off at the same time.
Poor devil. Look how he tears around him, holding onto the rail. Steve, he's falling.
He's the day dead away.
Let me get to him. Oh, Fred, darling. Look at me, Fred. Speak to me.
You'll be all right, Miss Zombie. He couldn't stand the strain, that's all.
Oh, no. It isn't that. Ever since he hit that bus full of kids, he's been half crazy. You see, 2 years ago, our own baby was killed by a truck.
Nevertheless, I was convinced that Fred Arnold should be punished. That afternoon, Lorelei and I talked with him in his cell.
Mr. Arnold, was it a man or a woman driving that gray car?
I know there was a woman at the wheel, and I'm sure there was another woman with her. The car I'm positive about. It was a gray Mohawk convertible. I'd know that hood anywhere, a 1939.
The accident happened on Langley Boulevard between 14th and 15th Street, huh?
Yeah.
You say the Mohawk came shooting out in the middle of the block.
Sure, that's right.
Well, then it must have come out of a driveway. And there's only one driveway in that block, the one that leads to Paradise Inn.
Say, I never thought of that, miss. She would be making a right turn coming out of there, wouldn't she? Maybe you've hit it.
What do you think, Steve?
Well, I don't know. I
still think I'm guilty, don't you?
Yes, I do, Arnold. I've been wrong before. I may be wrong again. After we left the jail, I dropped Lorelei at the entrance to Paradise Inn. Leave it to a clever woman to get the truth out of a man.
Come on now, open up, Mr. Doorman. You know you saw that car.
Maybe I did, lady. Maybe there was 50 gray Mohawk convertibles in here on Wednesday.
Oh, now look here. You don't look to me like the sort who let an innocent man go to prison for something he didn't do. Arnold has a wife and a family. I bet you have, too. Now, can't you sort of refresh your memory?
Looks bad for the guy, huh?
Maybe 10 years in the pen.
Well, all right. There was a gray Mohawk in there that day, but I don't know who was driving it.
Well, just tell me one thing. Did it leave here about the time of the accident?
Yeah, and that's all I got to say. I'm sorry for the guy, but I'm not losing my job.
Now, look here,
Steve, you must admit that there was a smoke-hot convertible there at that time. Arnold must be telling the truth.
Well, yes, I must admit that, but we've done everything we could to convict him. Now, how can we help him now?
We've got to find the woman who was driving that car and make her substantiate his story.
Oh, that's next to impossible. We found there were over 70 convertibles of that same make, and not one of them owned by a possible suspect. Mr. Stryden found guilty of manslaughter. On the day after the trial, we were at the big town hospital where seven of the little victims were being treated.
Goodbye, Miss Laura.
Goodbye, dear.
Thanks for the
dog.
Oh, that's all right, darling.
Goodbye, Mr. Wilson.
Goodbye, goodbye. So long, dear. Goodbye.
Oh, where's the other little girl, nurse? Jane King. You know, the one who was hurt so badly.
We moved her into a room just across the hall.
May we see her?
Well, just for a moment, yes. Follow me. This is her room. Oh, I beg your pardon. I didn't know you were coming out, Mrs. Martin.
Oh, that's all right, nurse.
Jane fell asleep while I was reading to her. Oh, Mr. Wilson.
Hello, Mrs. Martin. This is Miss Gilden.
Oh, how do you do, Miss Gilden?
I didn't know that you knew Jane.
Well, I didn't know her before the accident. I was just looking in on the children, that's all. Excuse me, please. I've got to hurry.
Yes.
It was a pleasure, Miss Gilden. Thank you.
Goodbye, Mr. Wilson.
Goodbye. Goodbye, Mrs. Martin. You know who she is, Lorelei? She's the wife of Judge Sally Martin.
Oh, really? Yes. She's been here every day since the accident.
Oh, has she?
Yes, she spends hours with a little Jane, reading to her, singing her to sleep. Several times when I walked in on them, I found Mrs. Martin in tears.
That's strange. I'd never judge her to be that type. She seems so worldly to me.
No, you know, we can tell Lorelei. Well, if Jane's asleep, we won't go in now. Just give her these things, miss.
All right.
We've got to see Fred Arnold's wife.
Fred Arnold? The man who caused the accident?
Yes. The poor devil's going to be sentenced tomorrow. I'm terribly sorry for the things that were said in my paper, Mrs. Arnold.
You had the Prince News. Anyway, everybody's been awful kind to me. Mrs. Martin was here again last night.
Mrs. Martin?
Judge Martin?
What? Yes. Would you believe it, Mr. Wilson? A woman I never met before. And she's put money in the bank for me. A trust fund to take care of it till... so Fred gets out of prison.
Steve.
Well, why should she do that?
Well, I don't know. It must be the goodness of her heart.
Hey, Steve, do you suppose that Mrs. Martin...
Oh, no, that's impossible.
Arnold, what kind of a...
Well, no, I've never seen
her. Oh, no, Lorelei, you're all wrong.
Nevertheless, we'd better make sure. Where do the Martins live?
In the big town apartments.
Well, there's a garage in that building, isn't
there? Yes, but I don't see...
Arnold, may I use this phone?
Of course.
Lorelei, you're crazy. Oh,
maybe I am, but I've got a hunch.
Oh, well, I don't think...
Don't tell me about women, Steve. I know them. There's a guilty conscience behind all this. Oh, hello, big town apartments? Well, let me speak to the superintendent of the garage, please. Thank you. Now, here's the phone,
what?
Steve. It's up to you.
Well, good Lord, no, woman. Dudley Martin's my friend.
So you'd rather see Arnold go to prison, would you?
No, of course not. All right. Come on, I'll play your hunch. Give me that phone. Hello, Big Town Garage? Why, this is, this is police headquarters. Tell me, do you service Mr. Dudley Martin's car? You do? Well, describe it, please. Yes? I see. Thank you.
Well, I was right, wasn't I? It's a gray Mohawk convertible.
No, Lorelei, Mrs. Martin drives a Dodge Coupe.
In just a moment, we'll return to Big Town. But first, here's part two of our Rinso family quiz. Our next victim is Mrs. George McDonald. Mrs. McDonald, do you think women are very jealous of each other's skill at housekeeping?
Yes, I do. Especially when it comes to family wash.
I see. And what quality is most envied?
Whiteness. Mm-hmm. We all want our white things to be whiter and brighter than anybody else's. Safely, of course.
Oh, of course. And what do you do, Mrs. McDonald? Rub and scrub a little harder than the rest?
Well, I should say not. On wash day, I spend a great deal of my time listening to radio.
Listening to the radio? Upstairs?
Yes. You see, I soak my clothes snowy white with Rinso. Why, often it only takes about 10 minutes for each tubful. Sometimes I let them go a little longer so I won't miss any part of Big Sister or one of my other favorite daytime programs.
Well, you know, of course, that Big Sister is a Rinso show.
Why, yes, it was Big Sister's announcer, Fred Utell, who persuaded me to use Rinso.
How much whiter did he say Rinso would get your clothes?
Shades and shades whiter than old-style soaps I'd been using. And it did.
Then, ladies, I'd suggest you get the new 1940 Top Speed Rinso, the whiter washing Rinso, tomorrow. And now back to Big Town. We return Back at the big town and to Steve Wilson. Steve is still addressing his radio audience, dramatizing a news story on the air.
In spite of what I'd learned over the phone, Lorelei was not thoroughly convinced. Once that persistent creature gets an idea in a lovely blonde head, she worries it like a dog with a bone. Before I knew it, I found myself at the big town apartments down in the basement garage listening to Lorelei turn on the chop.
Well, you see, Mr. Superintendent, this gentleman and I really came down here to settle an argument. I swore that I saw a friend of mine pull out of here a minute ago in a Dodge coupe, Mrs. Dudley Martin.
Oh, no, that couldn't have been Mrs. Martin.
No?
Her Dodge is standing right over there. That gunmetal job with the red leather seats.
Oh.
Yeah, smart, isn't it?
Uh-huh.
It's like a brand new car to me.
Yeah, it is. She's just breaking it in. Only had it about a week.
Well, what happened to her old car?
Oh, the Mohawk convertible?
Yes.
Oh, she traded it in, I guess. Nothing wrong with it either. Must have got tired of driving.
I see. Well, thank you so much.
That's all right, lady.
Come on, Steve. Well, it all fits in, doesn't it? She must have gotten rid of that gray convertible right after the accident. Oh, tell me, who's crazy now?
I guess I am, Lorelei. Good Lord, I never dreamed that a woman like Marie Martin could do such a thing. I still can't believe it.
She must have had a darn good reason for keeping it undercover. Say, how well do you know her, Steve?
Oh, not as well as I know her husband.
Is he the sort of man who'd stand for a thing like that?
I should think so.
Then you'd better go to him first.
Now, look, would that be fair? Now, she really is guilty. Shouldn't we give her a chance to tell him herself?
How much of a chance did she give those kids? And what about Fred Arnold? What a swell chance she's giving him.
I know, but we're not sure yet. We'd better give her the benefit of the doubt. Martin, the last time I saw you, you were nothing but a long-legged kid.
That wasn't so long ago. Mother will be down in a minute. Mr. Wilson, I've been following the Arnold case in your paper.
Oh, have you?
You were really vindictive at first and demanded his punishment. But suddenly he did a complete about-face. Why was that?
Well, I discovered that he was innocent.
You mean that somebody else caused the accident?
That's right.
He very plainly said so in one article.
I must admit that. But you didn't name anyone.
No, I didn't. I couldn't.
But isn't it true that newspaper people sometimes play detective in order to expose someone or to get a big story?
Yes, it's true. Sometimes.
Why? Can you help us in this case?
Well, I...
Now, if you could, Vi, you'd be helping the guilty woman as well.
Then you know it's a woman.
Yes.
But it isn't the one you think. The one who was driving, I mean. She wasn't to blame at all. Or you can't let them do anything to her. Mother, if you'd only let me...
I want to speak to Mr. Wilson and Miss Kilburn alone.
But I don't think it's good.
I'm sorry, dear, but I know what I'm doing.
Very well. Excuse me.
Vine's a very impulsive girl. Always fighting other people's battles. But you shouldn't take advantage of that, Mr. Wilson.
How do you mean?
Oh, by questioning her on a subject that she can't possibly know anything about.
Well, what makes you think I was questioning her?
Well, I could tell that by her attitude.
How could you possibly know what we were discussing unless...
Unless I listen. Well, perhaps I did for a moment. You see, one never knows what Vi will say or do. She's at that formative age when a girl's emotions are, well, unpredictable, to say the least.
Miss Martin, Fred Arnold comes up sentenced tomorrow.
Yes, I know.
Won't be a light sentence. He's 35 now. He'll be well past 40 when he gets out. That's young enough as ages go, but Arnold won't be young. After those years in prison, he'll be a broken old man. Now, we know he's innocent. We can't let that happen to him.
His wife told us what you're doing, Porter.
Oh, she shouldn't have. I didn't want her to speak of it.
But why?
Well, it's certainly a beautiful gesture, or could it be more than that, Mrs. Martin?
Oh, I don't know what you mean. I'd do anything to help a woman in such terrible trouble. She's not to blame for what happened.
Yes, neither is her husband. Mrs. Martin, that accident was caused by a woman driving a gray convertible Mohawk. There was another woman in the car with her. She came shooting out of the driveway from the Paradise Inn. She didn't look to left or right. She made a sweeping turn in the boulevard traffic, right into the path of an oncoming truck. Now, there's no stop sign at the end of the driveway because it's not a public thoroughfare. But there should have been a stop sign in that woman's brain, an instinctive consideration for the safety of others. If there had been, a man and a boy would still be alive. And a crippled child would still be able to walk. Now, what are we going to do about it, Mrs. Martin?
Well, what can we do? Why do you come to me with that question?
Because I know how terribly interested you are.
Well, yes. Yes, I am. But there's nothing I can do. Absolutely nothing. I'm sorry.
So am I. Terribly sorry.
You had
her a chance, but she thought she was safe, that nothing could be proved against her, so she turned it down. Soon after that, Lorelei and I were seated in the office of her husband, Judge Dudley Martin.
Sorry I had to keep you folks waiting.
Oh, that's perfectly all right, Judge.
What can I do for you, Wilson?
Well, Judge, Miss Kilburn and I have come to you for a little legal advice.
Well, what about your own attorneys?
Well, this is something of an exceptional nature, a very peculiar case. A certain lady, whom I know rather well, is in a serious jam.
Oh.
He's at least morally responsible for an automobile accident that caused the death of a man and a boy and permanently crippled a little girl.
How do you mean, morally?
Well, she made a quick right turn out of a driveway into the heavy traffic of a boulevard. She got across the path of the truck, and the driver swerved to avoid her, thus causing him to crash into an oncoming bus.
Would you say that she was legally responsible, Judge?
Well, I could hardly give you such a decision without knowing the full details. Was there a stop sign at the driveway?
No, Judge.
Well, then offhand, I'd say she might be held for criminal negligence. But only the trial judge could decide that. In my opinion, your friend should make a frank statement and throw herself on the mercy of the court.
Yes, but she refuses to do that. She won't admit she was anywhere near the scene of the accident. You see, we're the only ones who know about it, and we can't prove it.
The worst part of it is the driver of the truck has been convicted of manslaughter and will probably be innocently sent away for a long term.
Wait a minute. Is this the Arnold case you're talking about? The driver who crashed his truck into that busload of kids?
Yes.
That's right.
Why, I've been following that case with a great deal of interest. I was never so shocked in my life when I read about the accident. It's a lucky thing for Arnold that he wasn't brought before me for trial. I doubt if I could have rendered an impartial judgment. And do you mean to tell me that you've discovered he wasn't responsible?
Exactly.
But good Lord, man, you can't let him go to prison. Doesn't that woman realize what she's done?
I'm sure she does. She's trying to make up for it in other ways. I know she's tortured by the memory of it.
But how could she let Arnold go through the agony of that trial? How can she let him take the punishment that she herself deserves? Is she a married woman?
Yes.
Does her husband know about this?
No.
Then it's your duty to go to him and tell him just what you've told me.
Well, that's just what I've done, Judge. You see, I've been talking about your wife.
Everything they've told you about me is true, doesn't it? I was the woman who drove that car. It was my great convertible. That's why I got rid of it so soon after the accident.
It was a very foolish move to make.
Oh, I know. I was desperately afraid that someone would find out what had really happened. I've gone through purgatory ever since that day, thinking of those poor babies lying there under the wreckage of that bus. I couldn't wait to see what I'd done to them, but I read about it in the paper that night. I could hear them screaming, crying.
If you had only come to me in the first...
Oh, I know I should have, but I was a coward in that, too. Oh, I know you'll never forgive me. I couldn't blame you if you'd hate me for it. I'm ready to take whatever punishment is coming to me.
There was another woman in that car, Mrs. Martin.
Oh, no. Oh, no, there wasn't. I was alone. I confess that I was to blame. I'll confess in an open court. You'll get a sensational story for your paper. What more do you want?
You want the whole truth. If there was another woman with you, you'll have to tell who she was.
No, I won't. I won't. I don't care what they do to me. I'll keep on denying it.
It won't do you any good, Mother.
Silence. Because I won't let you get away with it. You can't come in here. We're discussing something very important. Something very private.
I know what you're discussing, and I'm a part of it.
Oh, Dudley, please make her go. I don't want to know about it now.
Listen, Mother, there's no use putting on an act to save me, because I'll only spoil it for you. I heard Mr. Wilson say he wanted the whole truth. Well, he's going to get it.
What do you mean by it? What do you know about this?
I know all about it, Father. I'm the motive. Can't you see? I was the other woman in that car.
Oh, don't believe her. She's lying, trying to help me.
Yes, and I'm trying to help myself, too. Do you think I've had an ounce of self-respect since that thing happened?
Go ahead, Miss Martin. Get it off your chest.
I was out with Pat Bell that day, Father.
With Pat Bell? After what I told you?
Yes. I spent the afternoon in the cocktail lounge at Paradise Inn. Expecting to get my father's attention was by kicking over the apple cart. In fact, I felt so sorry for myself that I drank too much.
Oh, she's only making it up. It isn't true.
Dorman knew who I was, and he phoned Mother. She was hurrying me home, and the accident happened. The poor soul was so upset she hardly knew what she was doing. She wouldn't stop for fear someone would find out that her daughter had been drinking. But she did it all for me. And has been breaking her heart over it ever since.
Why? Oh, my dear. My dear.
I'll take care of this, Wilson. We'll be in court in the morning.
Arnold, it was my intention to sentence you to the penitentiary for a term of from 5 to 10 years. But in view of the evidence just presented to this court, I suspend that sentence.
Thank you, Judge. Thanks.
you are exonerated of moral responsibility. But under the circumstances, it will be necessary for me to release you on probation. Mrs. Martin?
Yes.
Mrs. Martin, I'm sorry, but it is my duty to order your arrest on a charge of manslaughter.
Oh.
May I speak, Your Honor?
Of course, Judge Wilson.
My wife is ready to stand trial. Morally, I shall be on trial with her. For it was neglect of my daughter that brought it all about. I shall resign from the bench, retire to private life, devote all my attention to my sentence.
Mrs. Martin was tried and received a suspended sentence. Some have said she got off too easily. But one never forgets the cries of wounded children. That's my story, ladies and gentlemen. And I hope it has achieved its purpose, to bring home to all of us the fact that one moment's thoughtlessness behind the wheel of a car may result in a lifetime of tragedy. We may escape it once or twice, but retribution is always waiting.
Here's little 10-year-old Betty McDonald, folks, all ready for the third part of tonight's Rinso family quiz. Betty, how many different shades of white do you think there are?
Oh, about 3 or 4, Mr. Conti.
No, Betty, a lot more than that. Why, with Rinso, your mother will get her white clothes up to 10 shades whiter than with old-style soap. Does your mommy have a washing machine?
We just ordered one yesterday, Mr. Conti.
You did?
Yes. I was with Mommy, and we saw the man using Rinso to show off his washer.
Oh, then you must have got one of the 33 leading washers which endorse Rinso.
Gosh, we couldn't help it. Everywhere we went, they used Rinso in the demonstrations.
Well, Betty, 33 washer manufacturers can't be wrong. They know that for quick, long-lasting suds, you can't beat the new top-speed Rinso. Tonight's story of a man who was penalized for a crime he did not commit is no reflection on the men who are credited with the highest percentage of safe driving, the truck drivers of America. Next week at the same time, Rinso brings you Edward G. Robinson in another mystery thriller from Big Town. It is said that you never miss the water till the well runs dry, and that's what happens to Steve when he loses Lorelei. If you ask me, I think he's crazy about the gal. Anyhow, don't miss it. Ona Munson will head a splendid supporting cast. Lee Stevens conducts the orchestra. All the characters and all the places named in Big Town are fictitious, and any similarity to persons or places is purely coincidental.
Extra, extra, get your illustrated press. Read wider, no richer Rinso. Give wider.